appreciate your prayers for Ellen during her sickness time, and she is recuperating, and she's just wore out tonight, and she will be back because she's been faithful to the church down through the years, barely missed a service. But appreciate your prayers. Also appreciate the opportunity of preaching here tonight. Let me just say, before I get the message, there are some things that I want to mention to you here. I have three items here that have been a blessing to me. Now, there's two books that you ought to have in your if you want to know God's word. Well, first of all, you need the Bible and a Scofield Reference Bible and a King James Version Bible. Throw the others in the waste paper basket or the incinerator or something like that. But also in the King James, you say, preacher, do you believe everything that you read in those notes? No, I believe everything what's in the Word of God. But there's always going to be a little something, any book you read or anything, that's you just might not agree with every little thing. But it's very minor, usually. But get you a King James Version, old Scofield Bible. And then, these two books have been a great blessing to me. You ought to have them in your library. You ought to, Rightly Dividing the Word. Now, you need that. I preached through this, five or six times. I don't know how many times. And somebody told me here the other day that my preaching through Rightly Dividing the Word on Wednesday night probably did more for this church spiritually than anything I did while I was here. And so get you a Rightly Dividing the Word by Clarence Larkin. if you don't have the money, our interim pastor will buy it for you. It's only about $50 a book. About 30, 25 or 30, about 50 on this one. But you need this book too. And I always talk with maps and charts and things like that, and you can not only hear it, but you can see it, and it aids learning. Get this book. You need both of these books if you want to understand the prophetic. Rightly Dividing the Word. I'll leave them up front here. And then the other one, the big one, is Dispensational Truth. I is a dispensationalist. I am a dispensationalist. Amen. But these are two good books. And then another thing, I never heard of this. The Sword of the Lord. Now, they're free out here. You can pick one out and take it home with you and read it. And we get a number of, I don't know, 25 or 50 that comes out twice a month. When I surrendered to preach, left the football field down southern Mississippi, come over to Bob Jones University, got under Dr. Bob Sr. I mean, a giant for God. Not an ounce of compromise in his body, I guarantee you. He preached the devil out of the students and everybody get around over there. And then one day he had John R. Rice, years ago. I never heard, didn't know about, know anything about this. And he passed out the Sword of the Lord to the preacher boys. I've been reading them just about ever since then. And I read them right now every time they come out. I get one out here. And so you can get these. They're free out here, folks. You better take advantage of something free. But this, well, you say, preacher, do you agree with every little thing? And no. But yeah, I agree with about 95 to 99% of it, though. And I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Hallelujah. And so get you these two books. Read The Sword of the Lord. Every time it comes out twice a month. And it'll help you considerably, I'll guarantee you. Let me get these down here now. He might do it now. I'll tell you, he's a blessing, though we have some definite arguments in jest every now and then. But I love Brother John. So, I'm taking up my time on this, I know, but I'm going to preach when I'm through, so don't worry about it. I'm not worried about it. But I worked on a sermon when they asked me to preach, started working on heaven. And I really wanted to preach on heaven. And I, by the grace of God, I've been looking forward to going to heaven ever since I got saved. But yesterday morning, in that office back there, in my devotions, the Lord laid another sermon on my heart to preach. I think that this church at this juncture, this church needs the sermon the Lord had on my heart. And I want to preach to it on it tonight. On turning your Bibles to 2 Kings 2. And I'm going to preach on where is the Lord God of Elijah. Brother Pritchard, Rosario, I preached this sermon down in Brazil. What was the name of that town down? Was it, where did we go?
São Paulo,
okay. I've met so many places down there, but Brother Graham had heard me preach it here at the church, and he said, when you come down, I've got a preacher's meeting and a missionary meeting, and there's over 30 there, preachers and missionaries. And and the Lord came down. Brother Pritchard can tell you. I couldn't hardly preach it for weeping. Brother Graham couldn't hardly interpret it for weeping. And when we got through, we had revival, didn't we? Those men were on their faces and knees crying and praising God, and God just met with us. And one young man was in that, he was going to be a preacher, and he'd backed off, but he got it settled, is he still preaching? Do you know who he was? Amen. So turn in your Bibles here to 2 Kings chapter 2. This is one of the most interesting, exciting chapters in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. And in verse 1, I'll read it, and then we'll skip down to about verse 6 or 7. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, he went to Bethel and to Jericho, and then they came in verse 6 to the Jordan River. We'll pick up at verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as I live, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, now notice this now. If thou see me, notice it, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. That gives a liberal ulcers to read that kind of stuff right there. By the way, well, I better not get on politics. Maybe get back on the Word of God. The Lord's going to take care of that crowd. He's going to take care of them. Just stand for God and right. Let me go on here. Verse 12. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to show view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we can know in our own heart, in our own mind and soul, we can know somewhat of the power of the Lord God of Elijah. Lord, I thank you that every now and then you've let me experience some of your power down through the years. Thank you for that sweet time when we felt your wonderful presence. Lord, our church has experienced some times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight and stir hearts that we might know the answer to where is the Lord God of Elijah before we leave here. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, the time had come for Elijah to be taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. And he told his assistant, Pastor Elisha, to stay here. And the Lord wants me to go to Bethel. And he said, I believe I'll just go with you. Then at Bethel, Elijah again said in verse 4, you wait here, the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And Elisha said, I believe I'll just tag along. And then at Jericho, Elijah said in verse 6, a third time, you wait here, the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And a third time, he said, if you don't mind, I believe I'll just go too. And when they got to the Jordan, 50 members, the ministerial assassination, I mean association, stood watching, and Elijah whacked the waters, and Elijah and Elisha walked over on dry ground. I'm glad I believe that, because if the Bible says it, I believe it. I believe where I understand it or not. Folks, believe God's word where you understand it or not. It's true where I understand it or not. And they walked over on dry ground. Then Elijah said, Elisha, what shall I do unto thee? And he said, without hesitation, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. That's quite a request. And he said, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me when I'm taken up from you, it shall be so. But if not, it will not be so. And all of a sudden, the chariots came down, and horses, fire, swooped down from God out of heaven. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Isn't that something? I mean, you say, how do you explain that? I don't. We just serve a great God that's able to do anything he wants to. And verse 12 says, now this is a key. Elisha saw it. He said, you've got to see it when it happens. He saw it. He got it. He got the double portion of the spirit of Elijah upon him. And he kept his eyes on Elijah. And we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's a way to get a double portion of the spirit of God. Elisha then tore his outer garments off and picked up the mantle and walked down to the banks of the Jordan, whacked the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the waters just parted right then. And those 50 members of the ministerial assassination, as I said, we got rid of one fundamental Baptist. Now we've got another on our hands. And for our consideration this evening, I want us to think for a few minutes on this question. It found in verse 14, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Let's all search our hearts tonight. Are we experiencing any of the power in our lives of the Lord God of Elijah? First of all, three things about this question. First, it's a vital question. This is one of the most vital questions you'll ever face. You don't know when you're going to need the Lord God of Elijah. One of the few things certain about life is, you know, folks, you know this, it's uncertain. Life is uncertain. And the reason it's a vital question, first of all, because of the uncertainty of hell. You may be in good health, taking a handful of vitamins every day, eating a proper diet and watching your weight. But in your body right now, even though you may be a healthy person, a disease germ may be incubating that will rob you of your health and maybe of your life. You don't know. You're not going to have good health forever. And when they wheel you into an operating room, isn't it good to know the Lord God of Elijah? I'll tell you, I've gone in a few times and when they're putting me to sleep, and it's something. It is. But if, you know, God gives us peace, doesn't he? We close our eyes here and don't wake up. We wake up and see Jesus. But then it's a vital question because of the uncertainty of friends. A great preacher once said that we make never make more than five to ten real friends in this life that will stick with you. I mean stick with you. There will come a time when it seems that all of your friends have betrayed you. And when they betray you, folks, it's good to know the Lord God of Elijah. And then it's all a vital question because of uncertainty of possessions. You may have a good job right now and a good car, a good home, be secure today, and you can lose it all in 24 hours. And it happens every day. It happens every day. Look at the people out in California. President Reagan's library? Did they save it? It was going to. They were going to burn that down. You can lose everything it can happen every day. You can lose everything you have. The rich fool in Luke 12, his crops bore well. He said, "I'm going to have to tear down my barns and build bigger ones." And he said to his soul, you're making good. You're making it good. And he said, just take it easy. You got a long time to enjoy this life. You know what God said? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And Job, one of the greatest men of God that's ever lived, lost everything he had just in a few hours. And you might say, Brother Lashley, I'm getting along pretty good now, not having any trouble. You're my... That reminds me of a man who jumped off a 10-story building, and when he passed a man on the third story, he stuck out his head, and he said, "So far, so good." And you can go ahead and laugh. Nothing wrong with laughing. I laugh at Brother John all the time anyway. I appreciate his good humor. But in times of reversal, it's good to know the Lord God of Elijah. Then there's the uncertainty of life. I remember, and that's a vital question. It's a vital question, uncertainty of life. One of our members, I know, used to sit right back there, he and his wife, and was a bus captain for a long time. He went up into Virginia. He was a truck driver, went across the past Bristol into southwest Virginia there, and sat down in the office in a chair and had a heart attack and died right in that chair. So he died, I remember a girl worked in a bank in Kingsport, got sick and had a cerebral hemorrhage and died in just a few hours. A fundamental Baptist pastor in Knoxville, I preached in his church years ago down there. He had a son in college, he was preparing to be a missionary. And 3 days before his graduation, his life was snuffed out in a car accident. And I remember after my junior year in college, the Baptist of Mississippi sent me up to Alaska as a student missionary for the summer. And I hadn't been there over a week or two. And I picked up the phone, and it's my pastor down in Saudi, Tennessee. And he said, "Gene, you're going to have to come home. Your dad was just killed in a car wreck." And so that helped me to get off the football field, and I'd surrendered to preach, but still down there. And I was going to play another year and then coach and preach on the side. But the Lord didn't want that. And I left it all and went over to Bob Jones University, one of the greatest moves I ever made in my life. And Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." James 4:14 says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Folks, we're all just one heartbeat out of eternity. One heartbeat. If it started stuff, not beat again, you'd be caught out into eternity. So the uncertainty of life makes this question one of vital importance. And it's not only a vital question, it's a prayerful question. Really, this question is, "Oh God, who was with Elijah, be with me in the same way. It's really a prayer. And Elisha was a faithful servant of Elijah for many years. And he saw Elijah do all kind of miracles. And now Elijah was gone. And Elisha needed this same God. And folks, we need this same God today. We need today. And in our home and in our business, in our ministry, we need the power of the Lord God of Elijah. I've told you many times, before I came down to this church up in Illinois, I said, Lord, I don't want to go down there unless you come with me. I said, I don't want to go down there. And the Lord, before I ever left, told you many times, I got alone out in the woods with the Lord, and he assured me from the word of God that he was going to bless me. When I came down here, he did. And then the same God who answered Elijah's prayers must be with us if we get our prayers answered. And I remember I stood at this pulpit, and about 5 or 10 years before I retired, and I thought, well, I'd like to see a great revival come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I've told you that about this before. I've told you everything I know and some things I don't know. But I said, Lord, I'd like to, just talking to the Lord, I'd like to see a revival come. And the building would be full. When Holy Ghost revival takes place, folks, people come to it. People come to a fire. They don't like to go to a funeral. So if a church is just a funeral, it's not attractive. But anyway, I wanted to see a revival, people being saved, maybe people being healed, and the blessing of God there. Maybe people shout. You say, preacher, are you for shouting? If you got something to shout about, amen. If you tithe last Sunday, you can go ahead and shout. A friend of mine asked him, do you believe in shouting? He said, yes. And he said, if you tithe, I believe you can go ahead and shout. He asked him, can shout in this church? He said, if you tithe, go ahead and shout. But anyway, we need this same God of Elijah today if we're going to get our prayers answered. But anyway, I wanted to see revival in this church. But you know what the Lord did? The Lord didn't do it exactly like I wanted. He sent me prostate cancer. And I know that when I was I would go up the interstate and cross in front of Tennessee Eastman, cross the main road and head toward Olson Valley Cancer Center. And every day where I would go over there for 3 weeks and I got 3 radiations a day. I had 75 radiations and 60-something seed in my body for prostate cancer. But anyway, every day for 3 weeks, I would turn on the record I had of the Chuck Wagon Gang singing, I have a precious friend, Jesus Christ my Lord. I can hear it pinned on his precious word. When the clouds hang low or the skies are fair, I'm safe, I know. For the Lord is there. And every day, you might not like the Chuck Wagon Gang, brother, I had revival on one of their songs. And my wife don't like them, but I will like them anyway. I won't play too many of them in the car because I know she, I'll play me 2 or 3 and then turn on some Bob Jones music then for her. Excuse me for even Bob Jones, but you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, then... But, you know, I wanted, that was, I had one of, through prostate cancer, now they, I had 75 radiation and 60-something seed, and then the Lord healed me of that prostate cancer. But I, listen, that's one of the most wonderful experiences I've ever had, because I had revival in my car for 3 weeks every day. And then, the Lord God of Elijah, he's still on the throne. Folks, listen, he can take care of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church right now. Listen, he took care of us through the Civil War. The church went on fine, and other great times through the the crisis over baptismal salvation. I forget, but that's where they split off from our church, almost ruined us, over baptism, where you water saves. When you come up out of the water, the blood touches you, and you're saved right then. And we lost everybody by about 15 or 20 people, but Buffalo Ridge kept on. And so the Lord God of Elijah is still on the throne, still hears and answers the prayers of his children. And he, a thing on and tonight, he will answer your prayers too. And then also the same God who gave Elijah courage to stand true must help us not to compromise in this day of apostasy. And things look bad across our country, nudity and immorality and drunkenness on every hand, and churches have backslid. There's no power in our churches like there used to be. And we're headed to socialism. Better get stay off of that. And apostasy and debt, national debt, and on. But it was not easy to stand true in the days of that wicked king Ahab. It seemed like the whole nation had gone after Baal, but Elijah stood true to God, and he would not join the ecumenical movement and bow his knee to Baal. And we need to ask the Lord, listen, especially deacons, we need to ask the Lord God of Elijah to give us a hide like a rhinoceros and a backbone like a cross tie, so that we'll stand against sin and apostasy and unbelief in the days ahead. Now, I made up my mind with God's help a long time ago. I'm going to stand for this book and the God of this book. Now, you ought to make up your mind on that. I've been preaching for 68 years, and I have not knowingly dipped the flag one time, and I don't begin to start right now. Thank you for that. I'm 190 pounds plus, and how much plus is none of your business. And you can cut me anywhere, and I won't bleed compromise. Unless the Lord God of Elijah gives you courage, though, to stand, some of you will compromise and sell out for a bowl of denominational pottage. Make up your mind. You'll never sell out and compromise. This church, if I go to heaven, this church starts to compromise, I'm going to say, Lord, let me go back down there and straighten that bunch out. So, then also we need the same God who provided for Elijah to provide for our needs. I don't know how long I've got, but I'm a little over halfway through, so I'll be through before midnight. But what you need to the power of the Lord God of Elijah in your life, in your home, in your ministry, in the church, on the buses. We all need the power of the Lord God of Elijah. And we need him. We need the same God who provided for Elijah to provide for our needs. The ravens, when God sent him to Cherith, the ravens flew in every morning, and they brought him some ham biscuits from Hardee's in the morning. And at night, they brought him a fried chicken from Chick-fil-A. Now, you find that in the Texas Receptus, not in the King James here. But the Lord took care of him. I don't know how, but he took care of him. And then the Lord God, and when he went up to Zarephath, that meal barrel never run dry. God, has taken care of me all these years. I hadn't missed a meal. Today it is my own fault. And God is good. He's good. God is good. Amen. Thank God. We have a wonderful Savior, don't we, folks? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's a wonderful Savior. Amen. Amen. Then, let me skip a little bit here. Then we're going to need the Lord, Elijah's God, when we come time to cross over the Jordan. That's the payoff for the old time religion. I mean, the old time religion, folks, is good enough to live by and good enough to die by. Thank God. Just as God did not fail Elijah at the Jordan River, And this same God will not fail us when we stand next to the chilly Jordan River of death. He's going to send a convoy of angels to usher us into glory. When I come to the river at ending of day, last winds of sorrow blown, there will be somebody waiting. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. To show me the way, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan. Let's sing that. I won't sing it for you. You know that song? Well, sing it anyway. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. When the darkness I see, He'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Well, I'm an 87-year-old man still giving the devil a few licks up here tonight. Not going to stop it till he called me home. I better get back on my sermon here. Okay, one other thing. It's a vital question. This, where is the Lord God of Elijah? It's a prayerful question. Third, it's an answerable question. The Lord God of Elijah is not dead, folks. And he's not even sleeping, not on a vacation, or not taking a journey anywhere. But he's alive forevermore. Thank God he's alive. A few years ago, I walked the streets of Decatur, Georgia, suburb of Atlanta, and I was going to preach at the Forest Hills Baptist Church the next day. And I walked all around the church and some of the neighborhoods there, a nice neighborhood, and I kept praying, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I want to see the, when I got up in that pulpit the next night, I wanted the power of the Lord God of Elijah. It might have been the morning, I don't remember. I said, Lord, I don't want your power on my life for fame or selfish reasons. I want your power on me that I might glorify the precious name of Jesus. Now, folks, that's why we need God's power. Not to brag about it, but to brag on Jesus. You know, if you just learn to just brag on Jesus, he'll bless you the rest of your day. He'll bless your Sunday school class. He'll bless your bus route. He'll bless any church where they just brag on Jesus. Just fall in love with Jesus and brag on Jesus. And let me find out. I'm getting off on so many. But anyway, that night when I preached, or that morning, the Lord convicted a young Oriental lady there, and she come forward and got saved by the grace of God that night. So he blessed me. And your soul tonight may be crying out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where can I find him? I need him desperately. I want his power on my life. And you need his power on your life more than you need anything else in this world. You need the power of God in your life. Christian, you'll find the power of the Lord God of Elijah at the place of full surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you many, many times, someday the Lord will call me home and you'll hear me quit talking about it, but I'm going to brag on Jesus till I save me and call me till I die. I fought the call to preach for 4 years because I was timid and shy. You never believe that now. One night down at Southern Mississippi, the Lord woke me up at midnight, went out on that golf course, and got down on my knees and said, Lord, the best I know how, I think you're calling me to preach. And I said, if I make the worst preacher that ever got behind a pulpit, I'm surrendering to preach the gospel tonight. And God has been good to me and blessed me. And it all started back on my knees when I came to the place of full surrender to the Lord God of Elijah. You say, preacher, where's the Lord God of Elijah? He is at the place of full surrender to the will of God for your life. You come to the point where you turn everything, your money, your home, your wife, your children, your job, everything over to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be yours from now on. And I'll guarantee you the Lord God of Elijah will bless you. And I ask you a question this morning. I'm trying to find a place to quit. I've just about found it. But Is the Lord God of Elijah answering your prayers? Is he blessing your home? Is he blessing your service for Christ? Is his power on your life, on your bus route, on your Sunday school class, on your service for him? If you need to answer that question tonight and settle it tonight that you want the power of the Lord God of Elijah on your home and on your service for the Lord in the bus ministry and Sunday school and on your life. You want the power of the Lord. And if you do, each of us ought to say, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'd rather die than live without the power of God on my life. You ought to say, you ought to come to this altar tonight and say, Lord, I'd rather die as not have the power of God on my life. And before you leave here, you ought to find a place in one of the rooms or come to this altar and ask and beg, not just only ask him, but beg God for the power of the Lord God of Elijah on your life before you leave here. You ought to do that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Oh, we're going to just sing just right where you're seated. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I think you know it. And you say, preacher, thank you for preaching that tonight. And that's what I want on my life. I want the power of the Lord God of Elijah. I want him to use me the rest of my days on this earth. I want him to bless my home and bless my life, bless my ministry, my bus route, my Sunday school. Why don't you come right now and make that and say, Lord, I'm going to surrender everything I have to you. Lord, fill me with the Spirit. I want to know the power of the Lord God of Elijah. Oh, it'd be a great day if you'll say that.
Thank you, preacher.